The reading this morning is from Mark, the fifth chapter, starting with verse 18. Christ has just cleansed a man called Legion of unclean spirits. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you, and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to preach in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled.
Good morning, everyone. That might give you an idea that our lesson today is about the demoniac. And of course, we know as we study through the scriptures that there were more than one. But the main focus of the passages regarding them are the one who actually was willing or able to let Jesus help him. So Jesus said he would give release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set free those who are oppressed. Do any of these colors seem a little funny to you? Let me know sometime if you can, because my color vision is not as good as most of you. So maybe I put some funny colors in here and I don't know it until you tell me, so let me know. But let's not miss the application to ourselves. Are there things that we are still captivated to? You know, sin is a form of slavery. Satan loves to captivate people. And every time we allow ourselves to sin, then we've fallen short of the glory of God. And yet if we're walking in the light, as we studied in our Bible class this morning, he's continually cleansing us. But let's not miss the application. Jesus can still release the captives. He can still give us the vision of what he is like and what we are like and what we ought to be. He can restore the sight to the blind in that way. And certainly he can help any who are oppressed by spiritual problems and sometimes physical problems. Anything that besets us that we could handle better with Jesus, Jesus wants to help us with. He wants to do anything for us that we cannot do for ourselves, especially. Jesus said he would give release to the captive, sight to the blind, set free those who are oppressed. We can find ourselves oppressed by such things. However, our Lord can free all of us, any of us, and do it right now. Right now. So let us not miss the application. Do you feel captive to things you need to change? Do you struggle to make improvements in your already perfect self? How many of you out there feel like you're already perfect and have no room for improvement? And so we sometimes think about a New Year's resolution. I guess that's why I was thinking about this time of year. I know that poor guy that was filled with demons, he had room for improvement, but certainly we all do also. Our Lord can free all of us, and anyone we know, and do that right now. Luke 4, 14 through 17, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through all the surrounding district. And he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." That's a pretty big thing to say, isn't it? Something written 740 years before he was born, and he says, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus wants to help us with everything we cannot do for ourselves. Release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set free those who are oppressed. We find the story of the man who was demon-possessed and had been chained. We find it in Matthew 8, Luke 8, Mark 5. They tell of the two men with the most of the interaction with the one that I mentioned. No one could tame him. He could not tame himself. But yet, is this really, really who he was? Is it really, really who he really wants to be? Really? You know, on the inside was a man. On the inside was a person with his own mind, his own wants, his own desires, his own needs, but yet demons had come into him. We don't always know exactly how that works, how demons come into people. Why do demons come into people? We know that in the New Testament that it was often for the glory of God, because when Jesus or his apostles would cast out demons, then people would understand the power that was in Jesus and his apostles was a greater power than the power of the demons. And so it made for a good demonstration. But did they deserve demons? Had they done something to invite them in? You know, sometimes we let things as simple as worry and fear be demons to us. Other times it might be drugs or alcohol or other forms of sin or abuse that we bring into ourselves, and they decide they want to live there. Those things get in us and decide they want to stay, and when we have a real hard time getting rid of them. Some things it can actually be impossible for us to help ourselves with without some help from somebody else. Jesus can see beyond our surface. Jesus knows you. He knows me. He knows all of us. The voice that was speaking from the man was not saying what the man really wanted to say. What people saw on the outside was not who he really was. He looked like he wanted to be left alone. He did everything he could to be left alone, but the man inside wanted Jesus to save him from what his many demons were doing to him. Jesus knows what goes on inside of us too. All of our wants, needs, hopes, dreams, and struggles. We have a lot of people throughout the world who play a role. They become, on the outside, what people expect to see. But maybe on the inside, there's something much different. I use this word vicious. I had a co-worker at the college where I taught in China from San Bernardino, California. His name was Jerome, and he would go to church with me a lot of times in the house church. And one time we were having a discussion with our students about the gun laws in America, and he brought up the statement, which I haven't forgot. He says, you know, telling our students the situation sometimes, he says, we have some really vicious people in America that will do anything to you. So he's trying to give them an idea that maybe there is a time for law-abiding citizens to own a gun. But these men in this passage were extremely vicious, extremely violent people. People had tried to chain them, tried to jail them, but they would always escape, and the demons would drive them out into the desert. Matthew 8, 28 and 29, when he came to the other side, Jesus came to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, into the country of the Gadarenes, two men who were demon-possessed met him as they were coming out of the tombs. They were so extremely violent that no one could pass by that way. And they cried out, saying, "What business do we have with each other, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Now, isn't it amazing that although this man was being isolated from other people and not associating with other people, the demons inside of him could recognize who the Son of God was? Isn't that amazing? Mark says they came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gerasenes. Gerasenes, Gadarenes is the same thing. It's that area to the northeast side of the Sea of Galilee. And it's in an area called Decapolis. And Decapolis means 10 cities. They weren't necessarily big cities, but there were 10 cities over in that region. It was a Gentile region. And so when he got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. And he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him. Can you imagine that? Chains torn apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. And no one was strong enough to subdue him. Constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs and in the mountains and gashing himself with stones. I think I spoke wrong about that location. I believe it's the southwest side of the Sea of Galilee. But can you imagine what that person looked like? How he smelled? Can you just imagine? Wounds, remnants of shackles, gouges, screaming, "Stay away from me, stay away from me, stay away from me." But yet the man on the inside was saying, "Somebody help me, somebody help me." Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him. And shouting with a loud voice, he said, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, by God, do not torment me." For he had been saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And he was asking him, "What is your name?" And he said to him, "My name is Legion, for we are many." It almost seems like demons are even smart, Alex, aren't they? "My name is Legion, for we are many." Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes. This is Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. We need to do all three so we get the whole story. Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he came out onto the land, he was met by a man from the city who was possessed with demons and who had not put on any clothing for a long time and was not living in a house but in the tombs. I wanted to get some better pictures for you up here, but the man didn't have clothing on. So I thought it might not be appropriate to get too many pictures of him. So seeing Jesus, he cried out and fell before him and said in a loud voice, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had seized him many times, and he was bound with chains and shackles and kept under guard, and yet he would break his bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. So really, I hope that having read all of this, it gives you a chance to imagine this person, to get an image of him in your mind. How terrible, how pitiful, how dangerous, how crazy he must have seemed. Not somebody that you would want to go around. Dangerous place to be, but yet Jesus lets him walk right up to him. And Jesus has a power greater than the power that's destroying this man. When he met Jesus, the man inside needed Jesus, but his demons were not happy to see Jesus at all. Matthew 8:30-31, "Now there was a herd of many swine feeding at a distance from them. The demons began to entreat him, saying, 'If you are going to cast us out, send us in to the herd of swine.' And he said to them, 'Go.' And they came out and went into the swine, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and perished in the waters." Kind of a strange story, isn't it? I don't know why demons would rather be in swine than in the abyss, but maybe the abyss is a place where they never get out of. Maybe as long as they were in the swine, they could still bother people. I don't know how it works. And Mark says that he began to implore him to send them out of the country, to not send them out of the country. Large herd of swine, they asked to go into the swine. "Send us into the swine so that we may enter them." And Jesus gave them permission. And so coming out, the unclean spirits entered the swine. The herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea. And now something that Matthew and Luke don't tell us, 2,000 of the pigs were there and drowned in the sea. And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And again, Legion, many demons had entered him. They were imploring him not to command them to go away into the abyss. So there was a herd of swine. They wanted to go. He gave them permission. They ran down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. And again, 2,000 pigs. So what was the situation now after Jesus had intervened? This man's life had been destroyed by the demons that he had either invited in or were forced upon him. Nevertheless, his life was destroyed as long as they were in him. Just like we are not as productive and not as useful in the kingdom of God as long as we let things be in our lives that shouldn't be in our lives. And when those things are gone from our lives, we must certainly feel a great relief, but yet we might even miss some of those things. You know, when something's been a part of our life for so long and we finally get it out, we might miss it and have a tendency to want to go back to it, but we need to remember that God cleans us so that we can remain clean. God saves us so that we can serve Him. God strengthens us so that we have the power to do His will. And if we trust that Jesus can help us with those things that we can't quite do for ourselves, then certainly we should be able to make some progress in our life. And again, I think about this because it's the new year, and a lot of people are thinking about, how can I do things better this year than I did last year? Which is really a good thing, right? We all ought to be thinking about how we can do things better this year than we did things last year, and somehow make improvements in our already perfect self. Matthew 8:33-34, the herdsman ran away and went to the city and reported everything, including what had happened to the demoniacs. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they implored him to leave their region. Now, if we didn't know the rest of the story, we might think it was kind of strange that they would want Jesus to leave. Here they had someone who could do something that they couldn't do. They had been trying to control these men for many months, maybe many years. I don't know how long, but they just couldn't do it. It was obvious they were not able to contain these men, not in jail, not in chains. There was nothing they could do for these men. Jesus did it in a moment of time. Boom. 2,000 pigs run into the sea. Why? Ask a guy like that to leave. Well, it says in Mark, the herdsmen ran away and reported it in the city and in the country, and the people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed sitting down, clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had the legion, and they became frightened. Those who had seen it described to them how it had happened to the demon-possessed man and all about the swine, and they began to implore him to leave their region. So now if we include Mark's gospel, I think we see this idea of fear. They were afraid. They were afraid of Jesus. They had never seen such a power. A little bit like we studied over the past weeks about when Isaiah saw the vision of the Lord high and lofty and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple, and he said, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. Woe is me, for I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." And Peter, when Jesus had given the sermon from his boat, and then they got the great catch of fish, and two boats began to sink, and Jesus was there, and Peter was amazed, and he said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." So for whatever reason, these people were afraid. Afraid of the power that worked in Jesus. But yet there's more to the story. In Luke, it says the herdsmen saw what had happened. They ran away. They reported it. And the people went out to see what had happened. They came to Jesus, found the man whom the demons had gone out of, sitting down at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they became frightened. Those who had seen it reported to them how the man who was demon-possessed had been made well, and all the people of the country of the Gerasenes and the surrounding district asked him to leave them, for they were gripped with great fear, and he got into a boat and returned. So Mark told us he was afraid. Matthew didn't tell us why they wanted Jesus to leave. Mark said they were frightened. Luke says they were gripped with fear. Gripped with fear. What gets rid of fear? Love and faith. But they were gripped with fear. But yet this is not yet the end of the story. Mark and Luke report the rest of the story. As Jesus began to leave the area, the man that Jesus helped wanted to leave with Jesus. Who could blame him? But Jesus had some important work for that blessed man to do. Here's what he tells him. "Go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you." I remember when I became a new Christian that my life became so different. I didn't really even know what to do for recreation. I didn't know how to behave in certain situations, and I was a little bit nervous, but I knew that I liked what had changed. I knew that I was moving in the right direction. And I hadn't had any examples growing up, but I turned to the elders and other leading people in the church as examples of how I should be a husband, how I should raise my children, and anything I needed to know, you know, it was their example that I followed. And I really wanted to share the gospel because I could see what it did for me. And I went away to the school of preaching. I became a deacon for 6 months. And by the time I'd been a deacon for 6 months, I was already making plans to go to the school of preaching, so I didn't have to be a deacon very long. I had to get out of being a deacon somehow, right? So, you know, because sometimes deacons get stuck in there for years. But I went to the school of preaching, and I was, talking to, the atmosphere at the school of preaching was all about missions. Even though we went there to be taught to be preachers, they were always, and I know Kara knows this, she was there at Lubbock, the whole atmosphere is, oh, let's go do some mission work, you know. And Abe Lincoln, not the president Abe Lincoln, but Abe Lincoln at Sunset, a preacher, a teacher, an elder, and a former missionary to Africa. And he, I asked him one day, I said, Abe, it seems like everybody wants us to go be missionaries. I said, is there anything wrong with me wanting to go back to Topeka, Kansas and teach people there? And he said, no, there's nothing wrong with that, you know. But that's the way I felt. And I felt like this guy here that, you know, go home and tell people what's happened to you, you know. And I suppose there are some people in your life that you ought to be telling too, right? Telling what happened to you. If you grew up in the church, so to speak, and you escaped a lot of things in life that other people may have experienced, tell them about that. Tell them how you're so happy that you grew up in a family that believed in Jesus. Help them to teach their families to believe in Jesus. If you grew up far away from the church and had a great change in your life, tell them about that. Tell them what Jesus has done for you. Go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how He had mercy on you. Amen? So he told the man, go home and tell them. And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis, the 10 cities, what great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed. Well, why shouldn't they be? Amen? They knew what he had been. You know how word travels. Any of you ever lived in a small town? And certainly, you know, they didn't need a newspaper. And so word traveled. They knew what this guy had gone through. They knew that there was no hope for them. Seriously, I can't imagine anyone there thought there was any hope for that person. Amen? Do you know some people sitting on the sidewalk maybe that you think there's really no hope for that person? But maybe there is. Maybe there is. If they get to know Jesus, then we know there is. He went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him. 10 cities he went to proclaim in what Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed. But the man from whom the demons had gone out was begging him that he might accompany him. But he sent him away saying, return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you. So he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. So Luke tells us he proclaimed it in the city. Mark tells us throughout all 10 cities of the area of Decapolis. So he did what he was told. Amen? He did what he was told. If Jesus will intervene for us, we also must do as he has said we should do. Mark 16, 15 through 16, as he's preparing to be crucified, that's after he was crucified and risen from the dead, isn't it? Sorry. Mark 16, 15 through 16, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And again, if Jesus will intervene for us, we must also do as he has said. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:5-6, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In John 8:12, again, if Jesus will intervene for us, we must also do as he has said. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. And in 8:23-24, he was saying to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. If Jesus will intervene for us, we also must do as he has said to do. John 8:31-32, he was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Was the demon-possessed man free? Well, he was free of all the demons, wasn't he? He was free to wear clothing. I can just imagine that day, maybe some of the disciples of Jesus had an extra pair of clothing, and they went over and cleaned the man's wounds, poured some wine on him, maybe some oil to disinfect and soften the wounds, and put some nice, clean clothing on him. Can you imagine how the man would feel? But yet he's not free of responsibility, is he? He's free of the condition he was in, but he's not free of the responsibility to tell people about Jesus who had helped him. I am the door, he says, John 10:9-10. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The demon-possessed man was full of thieves. Sometimes we're full of thieves. Anything that we bring into our lives that robs us of a relationship with God that should be is a thief, and we need to kick it out. I am the good shepherd, John 10:11. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus never asked us to do something that he hadn't done himself. He tells us to be crucified to self, take up our cross and follow him, live a new life for him. He's already done that for us. 1 Peter 2:16, act as free men. And do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bondslaves of God. Just as the demon, formerly demon-possessed man, now in nice clothing, now clean and presentable, so to speak, no longer frightening people, telling people about the truth of Jesus Christ, using his freedom as a servant of God. Jesus wants to help us with everything we cannot do for ourselves. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, Jesus says. God sent him to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed. So let us not miss the application to ourselves. Make it a really, really, really new year. Amen. If you have a need to respond to this morning's lesson, we offer the opportunity as we stand and sing.